This is for the record. There is a grim kind of math that comes with war.
The total number of American troop casualties in the Afghan war stands at 2,300.
The American death toll in Iraq exceeded 3,500. The month of May.
The total number of American deaths in Iraq and Afghanistan now stands at nearly 6,200. And
a quick. Most of the U.S. troops who died during the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan were flown to Dover Air Force Base in Delaware. And for most of the wars, those dignified transfers were off limits to the press. That changed in 2009 when President Obama lifted the media ban and paid a visit to Dover himself.
It was a sobering reminder of the extraordinary sacrifices that our young men and women in uniform are engaging in every single day.
There were more than 2,400 dignified transfers at Dover from 2009 to the end of 2014. And while the numbers today are far fewer, the planes are still flying troops home. The most recent, Petty Officer 3rd Class Devin J. Doyle, age 21, of Colorado. The Pentagon says he died in Bahrain in a, quote, non-combat-related incident deployed as part of the U.S. fight against ISIS. For the record today, a special Memorial Day segment inside Dover. When you drive onto the Air Force Base, it looks like any other. There are a lot of nondescript buildings separated by wide paved roads, rows of planes on the flight line. But the mission here is different. So is the complex, situated in one corner of the base. There's a manicured garden with wooden benches, a meditation pavilion with a big fountain and a skylight.
Nice to meet you.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely.
And this building.
This is the Center for the Families of the Fallen.
This is Sergeant Sean Finley. He's a chaplain assistant, and the toughest part of his job happens here. Mirrors and framed landscapes decorate the walls. There's a new carpet smell. Overstuffed couches are arranged in different configurations with coffee tables and chairs, like a hotel lobby packed with tasteful furniture. This is where families gather and wait for the planes to come in that are carrying their loved ones.
We have seating for 88. We have 8 different areas for families to sit.
At the height of the wars, it was normal to have several families here at a time. Many of those families included small children.
So in here is the children's room. The kids can come in here, color and play, but of course the big highlight is the chalkboard wall.
The staff here erase the board when it gets filled up with messages from the hundreds of kids who've passed through.
And we'll usually leave something up on the wall, a flower or a cat or a saying, the very top, "Our Hero for Always," that was written up there almost a year ago, but nobody's gone up and written up above it, so we just kind of leave it up there.
Most Air Force personnel do 6-month tours at Dover. Sergeant Finley has worked here since 2012. He stands next to a large cabinet full of pamphlets about dealing with grief and stuffed animals for children. He feels like he is making a difference for military families, reeling from shock over their loss. At the same time, Finley has had to create a kind of distance for himself.
I knew that if I internalized everything that came through, I would overflow. So I try and take care of the families as best I can and be there. If I can engage with them, I do, and listen to their stories. And there's some great stories that I've been told. There's some terrible stories that I've been told. But those stories belong to those people. They don't belong to me, and so I don't keep them.
For me, I know them as a number, because we do know their names when they come into embalming, but I don't look at it.
This is Mel Spera. She was in the military years ago. Now she's a civilian funeral director and embalmer here at Dover. We meet her in a cavernous warehouse, row after row of caskets stacked up behind her.
We have 3 different kinds of caskets. I have metal casket. I have that in a 1X, 2X, and 3X. They also are, we have them in reverse, in which most funeral homes, the right side of your face is viewable for most funerals. We have so much trauma we deal with here. Sometimes the right side of the face is not the most pristine side. So we can actually flip them around in the casket and present the left side. And the family would never really even recognize that the body has been turned around.
Now that the U.S. ground wars have ended, Spera and her team spend most of their time going over procedures again and again. She says there is no margin for error.
We cannot have something like a name misspelled, middle initial missing, or the wrong letter, or basically anything, because if the family sees that, they're going to go, they didn't take care of my baby. How do I know that's my baby? That kind of questioning goes into anger in a heartbeat, a flash.
When fighting in Afghanistan and Iraq was at its worst, Spera says she was getting 20 or 30 bodies coming in a day, some so badly maimed she had to recommend a closed casket memorial service to the family. That brings a lot of pressure.
And the thing is that it's really hard for us to explain.
This is Jim Parsons. He's worked here as a mortuary technician in and out of uniform since 1985.
I could sit here and talk to you all day long, but you still, it'll be hard for you to understand. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it is. I talk to my wife all day long. She doesn't always get it.
Yeah.
Married for 20 years.
Have you ever seen a counselor? Have you ever felt like you wanted to or needed to? Or
I never have.
Yeah.
My wife says I need to. Mm. But maybe someday.
There's a lot of talk at Dover Air Force Base about resiliency, which in a military context means being able to navigate difficult emotional terrain and then move on. Staff members are required to attend at least 2 so-called resiliency sessions a week. On top of all of that, the chaplain on base holds something called pizza and conversation every week. It's voluntary, no one has to go, but they do, and not just for the free pizza. On this day, about 20 people, military and civilian, sit at a bunch of tables set up in a circle. They're gathered in a multi-purpose room with a few loud refrigerators stocked with sodas and water. Southern Cross by Crosby, Stills, and Nash plays in the background.
We have plenty of pizza.
Awesome.
We'll have some pizza.
Help yourself.
When the song is over, Chaplain David Sparks kicks off the conversation.
There's a process going on in this lyric. What is the process?
Asking about the song is a way to get people to open up, and pretty quickly the conversation moves from the lyrics to personal stories about loss and failed relationships.
But if you look at what did I do to cause this to come to an end, or what did we do as a whole, or did...
Chaplain Sparks says what preoccupies a lot of the military personnel here is just the regular stuff of life.
What's happening at home, what's happening with their kids or their spouse, what's happening with the next assignment, not the trauma of what they do and the emotional impact of that. What's mostly on their mind is what's at home.
But for many like Chaplain Sparks, who have been at Dover through the worst of it, the grief is always there.
We see a family 24 hours or so after they get a knock on the door. We are with them when it hits them in the face, which isn't at the knock on the door. It's when they see that transfer case with a flag. We see them at that moment. And then very shortly they are gone and other caregivers have to pick up. Most often it's on the flight line when it gets to me. And it's the mother who is wailing in a biblical sense. There is this wail that just comes from gut level. It takes me to the ground every time. I've heard that wail from a father. And the picture in my mind is the father of a Marine. And the transfer case has come off the plane. It's been put into the vehicle. It's been closed up. We've saluted. And the vehicle starts to pull off, and the honor guard is marching behind. And this guy reaches out. I can see it. He reaches out like this, and he just screams the hoo-ah for his son.
He said, "Ha!" Order, "Ha!"
When they come to Dover, each fallen service member receives a dignified transfer. That means every time the casket is moved, it happens deliberately, with precision and honor. It's become a sacred ritual, and Air Force personnel practice it constantly, so they're ready for the next time. Despite the gravity of this place, what's so striking is how much the people here clearly love what they do. At one point, Mel Spera, the funeral director, came up to me and said, "Aren't you surprised at how happy we are?" And it was true, I was. Master Sergeant Enid Ellis is on her 14th tour of duty at Dover, and when I asked her what keeps pulling her back, she said joy. Her work in this place, escorting the dead, reuniting them with heartbroken families, this work for her is filled with joy.
We believe in what we're doing here. I know I do. It has touched me and it continues to. I want people to understand that even though their aunt, their cousin, their uncle, you know, their daughter, their son have sacrificed for us, we love them. We love them even though they're not, you know, physically here. But we take care of them because we do love them.
Center.
And so they practice their ritual of bringing them home.
And slug, hold, bear, stay up.